Good morning, and welcome to Wayside. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Special welcome to guests and visitors. We're glad to have you with us. We hope that you'll feel you can be yourself and share what you believe, and wherever you are on your faith journey, be who you are. We want to mention to you that the bulletin for members is also a tool, not just for yourself, but for sharing with guests and visitors. For some reason, people don't feel like they're allowed to sign up for things, even when it's in the bulletin. If it's in the bulletin, you're allowed to sign up and you're allowed to come. So please use it as a tool to welcome people and say, maybe you and your kids, or maybe you would like to do this. Please encourage people to be welcome at Wayside in every way. Here are some announcements. Let's share with the congregation what's going on.
Just a reminder, the angel tree is alive and well out there. We have boys in red tags, girls in green tags. All you need to do, go out, pick a tag that you'd like to buy for, rip off the small white tag and put it in our envelope. This is how we track who has what gift. And then bring these gifts back unwrapped by December 10th. I want just to pause real quick. Think about what's on your Christmas list. I know I wanted some new earrings or a new purse. Kalina, age 10, would like pajamas and socks and underwear size 5. Jamari, a 13-year-old boy, would like a towel set. A 13-year-old boy, he would like a towel set, and he'd like bedding. Now, this isn't to shame us. I still want my earrings. But it's to think about what these kids need and what they want and how we can give them a Christmas that would be great for them. So go out at the end. We'll be there to answer your questions. Darren will be back at noon if we have more questions. But go out, grab a tag, and give. Thanks.
Next Sunday is not only the beginning of Advent, but it's also our Presbyterian Women's Christmas gathering, which will take place at 7 o'clock. We're going to move into the parlor this year, which may be a little bit warmer, we hope, and a little cozier than being out here in the entryway of the church. So we hope all the women of the church will join us. I know Dawn and the Way Youth Choir have been working hard, really probably, Dawn, what, since September on Christmas music? So they've been putting in lots of time. We hope you'll join us for an evening of fun and fellowship. Thank you.
Just a quick reminder, the Christmas cookie trays are coming up soon. If you are interested in buying the cookie trays, you can sign up for that on the table. They're awesome. It's a nice way to start the holiday. It's a delicious way to start the holiday. They're $15, and those will be ready on Sunday, December 10th. If you would like to donate some cookies, you can sign up. Those are due on the morning of Saturday the 9th so that we can distribute them and get the cookie trays ready. Thank you.
Thank you. Next Sunday is our Advent Intergenerational for everyone. Bethany Hurley and Bethany Van Helden are heading up a project of making Advent wreaths for each of our homes. And each family unit is invited to do that, whether you're one family unit or multiple. We would appreciate you signing up so we know how many supplies to have. And we are asking for a $10 donation to help offset some of the costs. This is the last week that you can make a contribution to the Women's Thank Offering. The envelopes are in your pews. Wonderful events, a long-standing tradition in the Presbyterian Church to help those in need and help them do their own projects. Hanging in the Greens is this Wednesday. So we have a nice opportunities for every age group to help bring in the season. I hope that you'll join in all the good things that our church is offering. Grateful for all those who are serving in so many good ways, the choir and Dawn, the ushers, for Sean Babcock helping us lead. Mark's at the control there. Thank you for making this a welcoming place. Let's take a minute and greet one another and welcome each other to church.
Let us stand in body or in spirit for our call to worship. Beloved, let us love one another. Everyone who loves, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world. Beloved, since God loved us so much, let us worship God together.
Let's offer together the prayer of invocation. Oh God, the church chose this Sunday to begin the last week of the Christian year. It never feels like an ending. Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas shopping are our focus. Maybe that is why we need this now. Maybe we need to call ourselves to focus on our faith. Help us this week to say thanks for the year is past and wonder what we need for the year ahead. Help us to refocus our lives in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated, and children, please come up. today, Ethan?
I'm good.
Say good.
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. Nice to have all you up here today. This morning, we're going to do an open eye prayer, which means we're praying with our eyes open. And it's the weekend of Thanksgiving, and I thought we'd talk about the things for which we're grateful. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you've answered one of the prayer questions already, then I'd like you not to answer and give somebody else a chance, all right? Because I know that we have some people that just like to answer them all, but we're going to try to share in the prayer today. First question, what is something that has happened to you that you're grateful for? Did you receive something, go somewhere, was sick and got better, made a new friend, saw a grandparent? Okay, Colin, you had your hand up first.
Saw a grandparent?
Saw a grandparent, okay.
Give kids the Rose Village.
Pardon?
It's a village.
A wish trip, a make-a-wish trip.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Nice. I have a song that goes with friends.
Do you have a song that goes with friends? Nice. Thank you. What a nice blessing. Very nice. Okay, another one. What is something or someone in your family that you're grateful for? Yes. Your mom, absolutely, yeah. Pardon?
I'm grateful for my parents.
Your parents, of course. Yes. You've answered, so let's see if somebody else has an answer, okay? Someone else? Someone else in your family that you're grateful for? Go ahead.
I'm grateful for the love in my family.
The love in your family. I like that answer. I'm glad you got to give that one. What is something or someone in the church that you're grateful for?
Katie.
Pardon? Everybody. I like that answer. Yeah, that's good. Let's go ahead. For God. I like that, too.
Ellie,
what's Ellie's answer?
Ellie, what do you like at the church?
Mommy.
Mommy.
Mommy liked it. Mommy's at the
okay.
church.
Okay. Ethan, do you have an answer? Who are some of you grateful for?
Candy.
Candy. That's something. That's right. I know where that comes from. Okay.
And Howie.
No, it's okay. We're going to... Okay, go ahead. What's your answer?
You.
Oh, I'm glad I asked you.
Kenny.
You made my day. Thank you.
Ellie, we're not taking off.
What is something or someone in the bigger world, out in nature in the world, what is something that you're grateful for, way out in the world? Yes, sir. Humanity, all humans, right. Good, I like that. Yes. The world itself. Yep.
The rest of my family that lives
in other places.
Actually, I have part of my family that lives in a different state.
Do you? And so you're grateful for them there. Go ahead, Colin.
I'm grateful that we have a horse so we don't fall down.
Okay.
Space.
Okay. Maddie, you had an answer last night. We talked about this. What are you grateful for in the sky? Remember that? You had an answer last night. Do you remember what that was? Remember? You don't remember? It was a good answer. What are you grateful for? For rainbows, right?
Yeah.
That was a nice answer. All right. Being thankful starts with each of us, with me, and then with you, and with people around us, and it grows wider and bigger. There are more things and people in the world that you'll become grateful for as you get older. Till then, we can just be thankful for all things and all people everywhere that God takes care of. Thanks be to God. Can you say amen to our prayer?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for your good prayers today.
Let us offer the prayer for illumination together. Let us pray. O God, shed illuminating light in what is about to be read and heard. Help us to see what we could not see before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This Sunday marks the beginning of the last week of the Christian year. For better or worse, it is named Christ the King Sunday by the Church. King implies secular rule, which is misleading, for this is a spiritual day, as is every other Sunday. Let us listen for God's word to us from Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, that you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I will tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Some things about this story. Got my goat. If Christ is primarily with the poor, and I want to be a sheep, then do I need to find a poor person and give them a can of corn a day or a week or every month? But how much is enough? And how much is too little? What about the people I don't help? How many poor can I walk by without helping? I don't have money and time enough to help the millions. What about people of all the nations who don't know about the tallying process? Will they be judged with equal measure as we who have been warned by this story? The passage reads like an all or nothing kind of reckoning. Can there be such a person who has never done good in their lifetime? Are we not created in the image of God? Were we not born in the love of God? Love is part of our very skin. And what is it with this eternal punishment? Even parents put their children in timeout for a limited number of minutes. That, granted, feels like forever to the child and sometimes to the parent. Can't a limited time of self-confrontation achieve a transformation from goat to sheep? I cling to three hopeful words in the story. The Son of Man will be our judge. The one who lived once as we do now with all the struggles of life, its fears and temptations, its confusion and injustice, its selfishness and compassion. He knows that life is not as simple as right and wrong, good and evil. Sometimes we are God's sheep and sometimes we're God's goats. And most of the time we wonder if the good we have done is wrong and the wrong we've done is good. Roger Nishioka, one of the leading teachers in our denomination and a former professor at Columbia Seminary, tells the story of standing in a checkout line at the grocery store. He admits he was in a hurry, and he watched with frustration as a little old lady in front of him searched and searched and searched through her purse for money to pay the bill. He decided to be generous and said, "Here, let me help." And he handed the cashier a $20 bill. The little woman turned to face him and with a painful sigh said, "I didn't need help. I didn't ask." He realized he insulted her dignity. A spiritual interpretation of this scripture passage is that faith must be lived in the form of good works. That somehow when we are kind, patient, generous, compassionate to others, we come into Christ's presence through that personal encounter. In the interaction, there's a dialogue between our own soul and the Son of Man. In heaven, I wonder if the Son of Man will invite us to sit on a bench with him and help us sort out our sheep from our goats. I am not so sure it will be much different than from sitting in a pew each week. Here, the liturgy, the songs, the scripture, and the sermon confront our choices and opinions and perspectives. We're invited with Christ to make a reckoning of our lives. It is for us who follow him a daily prayer. As a pastor, I find it reassuring to realize that I'm not the only person to sit on the bench with Christ. Each and every one of us does. The conversation's personal and private, save for what we choose to share with others. For some folks, assume that I may do a lot of counseling, but that's not the case. I'm only invited into some people's sorting of their sheep and goats. It takes courage and faith to share who we are with others, and we're very selective about that. Each year, I admire our confirmands for their willingness to risk and share what they believe. They are a gift to me and to James and to one another. Transformation and spiritual growth only happens when we risk sharing who we are and what we believe. As a pastor, I tend to think I ought to help, but I remind myself that Christ is with all of you. Sometimes I'm helpful to others, and sometimes I'm not. That is true of all of us. We're not on the bench with a loved one or friend. We have simply heard from them something of what was discussed on the bench. We're not called to save one another. That is reserved for the one who helps us judge ourselves with him. So where and when do we encounter Christ? One need not go to a prison to encounter someone who is imprisoned. There are many things and ideas that keep people from living life fully: guilt, addictions, oppression, hunger, wealth, poverty, illness, to name a few. We are not talking only about others, but about ourselves as well. We are hungry for a caring word, a forgiving word, a hopeful word, a redeeming word. We feel at times like the emperor who wore no clothes, convinced mistakenly of how he appeared to others. We all need to reach out to another and be in turn reached out to. In the encounter, the bench conversation begins, and so does the possibility of life. To not examine our sheep and goat choices, our healthy and unhealthy thoughts, is to condemn ourselves to repeat mistakes and harm to ourselves and to others. I'm afraid we will anyway, We are both sheep and goat in any given moment. But the sorting of others is not ours to do. The sorting is only ours. Love and compassion seem to set it in motion. And we are invited to live life fully by the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. A daily conversation with the Son of Man on his bench may be the only path to eternal life every day and in all that we seek to do. I'd like to briefly conduct a small survey. I stumped the staff with this hymn. How many of you have sung this before? Anybody? Thank you, Pat. I love you. Okay, it must not have been from my childhood that I sang it here. It must be another place. I practically know it by heart. It just surprised me that my perception was off. I don't know that we'll sing it again. I might be outvoted. Let us turn together to the prayers of our community. We certainly pray for all those who are sick or injured. We're grateful for those who serve around the world in so many ways and for our good confirmation class. Eastminster Presbyterian Church is in our prayers. They are located just across from GE on the east side of town. And Reverend Stephen Morris is their pastor. He served at Westminster until his retirement, has also been an associate pastor at First Covenant, and now continues to serve that good congregation. And Reverend Emily Rogers Bissett, who's in a validated ministry, which means she is in a traditional pastoral role, but the Presbytery sees her ministry as good and valuable. Dawn, do you remember she's the one that works in Canada? She is. Okay. We're grateful for her service there on our behalf. Let us prepare ourselves for prayer. Holy Spirit, does it seem too cliche to count our blessings as Thanksgiving weekend? Can that be a genuine spiritual practice or not? The challenges and problems and worries loom large before us. Can we outnumber them in gifts from you and things that are not going well? Is there a tipping point in one direction or another? Is it really things or circumstances for which we're grateful? Is there someone to whom we would recite our list of blessings? Or is there a child, or a spouse, or a sibling, or a friend for whom we're grateful, who grants us perspective on this life we lead? Are they the one who makes life bearable and even joyful? And is it actually your love that comes through them to us to assure us that we're not alone, that nothing can keep us down, that all problems can be dealt with, that all our lives are a blessing because in all things and all people, you reign in our hearts and minds. May it ever be so. Come, Spirit, abide with us. Abide with the sick. Abide with those who grieve. Abide with anyone and everyone in every problem that we face, and bring us peace. Help us to bear our burdens with a confident smile. As Jesus taught, so we pray for a world beyond our imagining, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our gift to God is an offering of love and thanksgiving. Such is the nature of love that is received, we are glad to give love in return. Our expressions of appreciation to God will now be received. Gracious God, to the end that people experience your love and grace, We dedicate our gifts and ourselves to faithful ministry. Bless what we have and who we are to the work of your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Let all God's people say, Amen. Accept the charge before us. Lord, make us where there is hatred, where there is injury, where there is doubt, where there is despair, where there is darkness, where there is sadness. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled, to be understood, to be loved. For it is in giving,
that we
it is in pardoning,
that we are
and it is in dying,
that we are born to eternal life.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And